Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Some might consider today's teaching, or at least the title of it, Seven Characteristics of the Spiritually Immature, a bit negative, but we assure you it's not. You know, honey, I've always said that I'm one of the most positive people anybody will ever meet.
That's the truth.
That I'm so positive that when I take aspirins, they feel better.
All right.
So my natural inclination is always share things from a positive viewpoint. However, I've truly felt led to make this our teaching for today, and thank you for helping put meat on the bones.
You're welcome, my darling.
We believe that this teaching will help spiritually immature believers turn their lives around, and I know it'll help some parents deal with children who exhibit some of those same characteristics. Number one, living in the immediate. The spiritually immature live for right here, right now. Delayed gratification is difficult for those who want immediate satisfaction. And make no mistake about it, we live in the society of instant gratification. We have fast food, drive-through restaurants, microwave cooking, instant pudding. I'll confess I like my wife's instant pudding. High-speed internet, satellite and streaming TV feeds, instant grits. No, that's just going too far, instant grits.
But understand, too, children have been raised in that kind of environment. So developing spiritually mature children can sometimes be difficult.
That's true. You know, advertisers spend billions of dollars selling instant gratification. Their purpose is not to improve the quality of our lives, but to use our hard-earned money to build our corporate bank accounts.
Amen.
Have you ever heard the old expression, living hand to mouth? I have a different variation of that phrase. Advertisers are living by taking their hand and removing what should be going into your mouth. Sadly, the advertisers take advantage of unsuspecting believers who, without financial discipline, will choose instant over delayed gratification. We live in a culture where when people see something they want it now. And advertising feeds that habit by conditioning people to believe they can have it, and they can have it right now.
In Proverbs 14, verse 2, in the Living Bible, it warns. It says, the wise man looks ahead. The fool attempts to fool himself and won't face facts. Number two, short on discipline. A lack of discipline is a great battle faced by many Christians, whether it's maybe eating too much, chatting too frequently, texting too often, surfing the net, riding the waves hour after hour. In Proverbs 25, verse 28 in the New Living Translation, it says, a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. We remember hearing a man say that he prayed and asked God to help him get up earlier so he could spend more time in the Word, but he kept oversleeping. So he reasoned that God must have wanted him to sleep late. So let us be clear. God isn't going to send an angel to get you out of bed in the morning. That's why they invented alarm clocks. But when we mess up due to a lack of discipline, we definitely don't need to give God the credit for something which he would have nothing to do with. In fact, God has given us his spirit so that we can exhibit the discipline and self-control by putting the Spirit of God to work in our lives. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it tells us what spirit God's given us and what he hasn't. In the Classic Amplified Bible, it says it this way, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of coward or craving and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline, and self-control. God has given us this power. Now it's up to us to do something with it.
Number three, dominated by emotions. That's definitely a characteristic of the spiritually immature. When your feelings control what you do, your thinking is limited, and so will be your success. See, not only that, but it becomes easier to be a victim to sin. Galatians 5:16-18 in the New Living Translation reveals how to control our emotions while living by the Holy Spirit's power.
And this is the way it's said. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. The Word of God gives us advice and says it all.
Number four, limited knowledge without knowledge of the limits. This is you, baby. You read this one.
Limited knowledge without knowledge of the limits. All kids need limits. One of the craziest things people, anybody really, especially a leader, could ever do would be to limit God. Also limits them and everybody else. In Matthew 19:26, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And we love this, don't we, honey? God's Word translation of Mark 9:23.
Yes, we do.
In Mark 9:23, it says, Jesus said to him, as far as possibilities go, everything is possible for the person who believes. There is no limit to our manifestation when we're following the Word of God. All things are possible, anything, no matter how illogical to the circumstances or the natural mind says it can't happen in our lives. As we exercise our faith and believe, amazing things can happen. The Scripture also says there's nothing impossible to those who believe. Luke 1:37 in the Classic Amplified says, for with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God, that's the key, shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. In God, there are no limitations. Through God, you have no limitations as long as it lines up with His Word. Can anybody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah. Number five, operating from sentimentality, a sentimentality base, and not a reality base. Imagining things to be the way they're not or the way you wish them to be is sentimentality. Unfortunately, sometimes sentimentality will cause a person to compromise with sin. For over 15 years, maybe 20, beginning with a television show called Will and Grace, the media has made a determined effort to make gays the smartest, funnest, nicest people on their respective television sitcoms. If you observe the trends in the programming, it will reveal the truth in what I'm saying. The effort is to create a sentiment and identification with funny gays who know style and make great friends. I'm not trying to stereotype the role of gays on TV and in movies. However, what I'm saying is the truth. The bottom line is that our sentiment concern for the fair treatment of gays is based on the media perception. The whole motivation is to make people more sentimental in their attitudes toward gays. The challenge is the Bible clearly states that homosexuality is a sin. Right is right, wrong is wrong. No one should ever hate gays. Never. Never hate gays. We should love them and pray for them. Now, we can hate the sin, this homosexuality. You may not consider my comments politically correct, but I am, and I'd rather be, spiritually correct.
In Jeremiah 17:10, Jeremiah 17:10 in the Message Bible, it says, "But I, God, search the heart and examine the mind. I get to the heart of the human. I get to the root of things. I treat them as they really are, not as they pretend to be."
Number six, sexually absorbed. Is there any wonder that our young people are so sexually active, considering the large number of movies and TV programs, streaming programs on internet, advertising, clothing designs that foster an increased level of sexual arousal and, yes, even addiction? Couple this with the loosening of biblical values and alternative lifestyles promoted through the entertainment industry, and we have a prescription for self-gratification and havoc in the sanctity of sex and marriage.
In Hebrews 13:4 says in the Classic Amplified, "Let marriage be held in honor, esteemed worthy, precious, of great price, and especially dear in all things. And thus let the marriage bed be undefiled, kept undishonored, for God will judge and punish the unchaste, all guilty of sexual vice and adulterous." The last part of the Message Bible translation of Hebrews 13:4 says this, "Honor marriage and guard the sacredness of sexual intimacy between wife and husband. God draws a firm line against casual and illicit sex."
Don't be seduced by the casualness of sex in our contemporary society. Number seven,
identity sensitive.
Yeah, thank you. I wanted to say identify, but it's identity sensitive. You think I remember that since I wrote it? Your identity should never be based on what you wear, where you live, what you drive, who your parents are, how much you make or don't make. Have a true scriptural understanding of who you are in Him. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
Number one, Genesis 1:26. Listen to this. You know it, but take it in. Genesis 1:26 in the Classic Amplified. God said, "Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the earth." Number two, Romans 8:17 says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." That's who we are. And number three, Ephesians 1:11 in the Message Bible says, "It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone."
Now, if Ephesians 1:11 doesn't make you shout, nothing ever will. Kofi Annan, former Secretary General of the United Nations, said, "To live is to choose, but to choose well. You must know who you are and what you stand for, where you want to go, and why you want to get there."
Well said.
Yes, it is. Here's what you need to know about your identity. Psalm 45:2, New Living Translation. "You're the most handsome of all. Gracious words stream from your lips. God Himself has blessed you forever." Wow. Great scripture. After listening and meditating on this scripture, well,
how about the whole teaching?
The whole teaching. There'll be less spiritually immature at the end than at the beginning.
There you go.
Hallelujah. You go to haroldherring.com. Make sure you check out this week's 2-minute video. If you've been blessed by the teaching up at the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed He'd have you sow. Do what He says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.